COVID-19 cases seem to be stabilizing in many countries around the world, but that is definitely not the case in India, which is seeing a massive spike in infections and deaths. With me via Skype for our weekly look at some of the biggest international stories in the coming days is the BBC's Pete Ross. And Pete, let's start with the pandemic. What is the latest you're seeing?
Well, international focus very much remains on India, Mark. Over the weekend, the country recorded its highest daily coronavirus death toll since the pandemic began. And it also became the first country to register more than 400,000 new cases in a single day. The big issue is oxygen supplies, the lack of them, and the attempts to try and get oxygen to various parts of the country where the problems are, but also to get more oxygen into the country. I mean, I think the picture in India contrasts quite starkly with other parts of the world. You know, I'm speaking to you, as I always do, from here in central London, and our numbers continue to go in the right directions. Things are opening up more and more. So I think countries like the UK, now looking to India, we've got a bit of capacity now to start helping other nations. And I think that's vital if we want to get through this, is international cooperation. So with that in mind, international aid going to India. The UK today is sending 1,000 ventilators. Taiwan sent its first batch of aid. And this is all follows the pledge from the United States last week to offer sustained support. So the COVID picture, I think, is one of contrasts at the moment. You know, countries like India, Brazil, you know, really up against it, whereas, you know, places that perhaps are struggling like the UK now doing better.
All right. So, Pete, let's stick in the UK for a moment. And there are a lot of elections coming up across England, Scotland and Wales later this week on Thursday. Why are these significant?
Yeah, I wouldn't normally draw your attention to local elections, but the outcomes of these particular elections that are coming up on Thursday could have some serious ramifications for the future of the United Kingdom. Now, look, on the one hand, I think it's fair to say that coronavirus is and the way it's been handled has got to be one of the most important issues for voters. However, if you go up the road to Scotland, the most important issue there is independence. Now, you might be thinking, hang on, Pete, Scottish independence, wasn't that a big issue a few years ago? Well, you'd be right. In 2014, there was a, as it was dubbed at the time, a once-in-a-generation referendum vote on whether Scotland should stay in the Union or go its own way. And the Remainers, as they were dubbed, won that vote. Scotland voted to remain in the UK by a margin of 52-48. And, you know, many people would think that, well, that was the end of the matter. As I said, once-in-a-generation vote. However, the party that remains in power, there's a devolved government up in Scotland, and the party that remains in power is the Scottish National Party. So the key is in the name there as to what their main focus is, and that is to gain independence. Now, they've been in power since 2007, and if they win again at this election, the leader of the party, Nicola Sturgeon, says it will give her a mandate to seek another referendum. And just another little thing that might be getting Westminster and Boris Johnson a little bit worried, and those that want the UK to remain together, for the first time in the last 18 months to a year, for the first time, polls have been showing that the majority of Scots are now in favour of independence. So look to those elections on Thursday. It might not be, you know, just around the corner, but certainly things moving in the direction of an independent Scotland being more likely.
Interesting. And Pete, also in Northern Ireland, the governing Democratic Unionist Party is looking for a new leader after Arlene Foster resigned last week. What impact might a new leader have on the makeup of the UK there?
Well, this is it. So Scotland, you know, there's the independence factor there. And, you know, possibly seeing that we could be seeing a breakup of the UK. Well, Northern Ireland as well has some issues as far as that goes. So as you said there, Arlene Foster, the leader, had to resign. She had little choice to do that last week after around 80% of the party's members signed a motion of no contest. So there's going to be a leadership election. It's going to be the first one in the party's 50-year history. Normally, her predecessors are, you know, decided by the party and they just kind of appear, announced. However, this leadership election comes at a key time. First of all, I'm speaking to you today on the 100th anniversary of the creation of Northern Ireland. Now, depending on what side of the fence, whether you're a unionist and you want to remain part of the UK, you see that as the 100th, today is the 100th centenary of the creation of the nation that ties you to the United Kingdom. However, if you're a loyalist, if you live in Northern Ireland and wished that the whole of Ireland was united, you see this as a 100th, you know, the marking 100 years of partition. So it's a very controversial day. And also just the time of, you know, at the moment, You might have seen some pictures on the television recently of disturbances. Riots might be slightly strong, but certainly pictures on the television of youths and people clashing with the police, petrol bombs, etc. The kind of pictures we haven't seen since sort of the 1990s and the 1980s. So things are not stable. And if you factor in what's going on in Scotland and in Northern Ireland, then, you know, the makeup of the UK could be in the most jeopardy it's been for quite some time.
Wow. All right. So, Pete, finally, the UK will be hosting the first in-person G7 Foreign and Development Ministers meeting coming up in London, the first one in a couple of years. Ministers start arriving today with meetings tomorrow and Wednesday. What is likely to be on the agenda?
Well, that's it. I think face-to-face international diplomacy is back on the agenda. We can say that, you know, the world politics, diplomatic relations, etc., just like you and I, it's all had to happen on small computer screens over Zoom or Microsoft Teams. And this seems to be a sort of another indication that the world is getting back to some sort of normal. Now, as you said, it's the G7 foreign ministers meeting. Normally, the G7 is the leaders of those countries: Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, United States and the UK. That's going to be happening in a part of England, the south of England, a place called Cornwall in June. But these ministers are meeting ahead of that. As well as those normal G7 countries, you've also got other countries being invited: India, Australia, Republic of Korea, and South Africa. I think vaccines are going to be right up there, but also, according to the press release, education of girls and also ways to prevent famine. Also, the other thing to note is that your US Secretary of State just flew in this morning, and he's due to meet with our Foreign Secretary, Dominic Raab, later today, and they'll have lots to discuss, I'm sure.
All right. That is the BBC's Pete Ross in London. Pete, as always, nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks very much.